Nothing is more certain than that the ladies always gain of the men by keeping their ground and letting their pretended lovers see that they are not afraid of saying no. Though it may be true that the men have but too much choice among us, and that some women may be found who will dishonor themselves, be cheap and easy to come at, and will scarce wait to be asked. Yet if they will have women, as I may say, worth having, they may find them as uncompatible as ever. Women that do not think their own safety worth their thought, that impatient of their perfect state, resolve, as they call it, to take the first good Christian that comes, that run into matrimony as a horse rushes into battle. I can say nothing to them but this, that they are a sort of ladies that are to be prayed for among the rest of distempered people. And to me, they look like people that venture their whole estates in a lottery where there is 100,000 blanks to one prize. But I come now to my own case, in which there was at this time no little nicety. The circumstances I was in made the offer of a good husband the most necessary thing in the world to me, but I found soon that to be made cheap and easy was not the way. It soon began to be found that the widow had no fortune. And to say this was to say all that was ill of me, for I began to be dropped in all the discourses of matrimony. Being well-bred, handsome, witty, modest, and agreeable, all which I had allowed to my character, whether justly or no is not to the purpose, I say all these would not do without the dross, which was now become more valuable than virtue itself. In short, the widow, they said, had no money. I communicated my thoughts to my intimate friend, the captain's lady. And at last she made this unhappy proposal to me, that, as we had observed, how the men made no scruple to set themselves out as persons meriting a woman of fortune, when they had really no fortune of their own, it was but just to deal with them in their own way, and, if it was possible, to deceive the deceiver. The first step she put upon me was to call her cousin, and to go to a relation's house of hers in the country where she directed me, and where she brought her husband to visit me, and calling me cousin, she worked matters so about that her husband and she together invited me most passionately to come to town and be with them. In the next place, she tells her husband that I have at least £1,500 fortune, and that after some of my relations, I was like to have a great deal more. It was enough to tell her husband this. There needed nothing on my side. I was but to sit still and wait the event, for it presently went all over the neighborhood that the young widow at the captain's was a fortune, that she had at least £1,500 and perhaps a great deal more, and that the captain said so. I presently found myself blessed with admirers enough, and that I had at my choice of men as scarce as they said they were, which, by the way, confirms what I was saying before. I picked out my man without much difficulty by the judgment I made of his way of courting me. I'd let him run on with his protestations and oaths that he loved me above all the world, that if I would make him happy, that was enough, all which I knew was on supposition, nay, it was upon a full satisfaction that I was very rich. I never told him a word of it myself. This was my man. But I was to try him to the bottom, and indeed in that consisted my safety. For if he balked, I knew I was undone if he took me. Therefore, I pretended on all occasions to doubt his sincerity, and told him perhaps he only courted me for my fortune.